Cambridge Muslim College, training the next generation of Muslim thinkers.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So what we're going to do is just give a brief overview of these five books that, not quite at random, we've picked for our winter reading. These are not necessarily endorsements, but at least the opportunity to reflect on some of the stuff that is being published at the moment and that is out there. There's a lot about Islam and the interests of Islam in the more wider intellectual conversation of our culture, and we need to have a window onto that. So what I want to start with, perhaps going in at the soft end, is the poetic anthology of Paul Abdulwadud Sutherland. Sutherland is a very mature, established Canadian poet with about 10 collections of poems already to his credit, many of them dating from before his conversion. But recently, during Ramadan, he wrote a poem on every day of the fasting month, plus another 10 from the month following. So you have here poems on the life of the Prophet Muhammad. Each of the poems considers one aspect of the Holy Prophet in terms of his human reality in 7th century Arabia. So it's a kind of poetic seerah, but looking more at Shama'il issues and what kind of person he was. So here is something that he imagines Sayyida Aisha saying. When the love of my life died, I was 17. He'd founded an Islamic nation, shattered the weapons of the aggressive tribes, made the high palms bow to kiss the sandals of a wayfarer, transformed thieves into scholars, given us the right manners for every action, had conquered Mecca and made it possible for us to visit our families there, and so on. It's a very good way of getting into some of the depths of the seerah. Very often we focus on battles and marriages and events, and this gives you more of a sense of the spiritual story. So that, I think, is definitely a recommendation. And then from the sublime to something, well, not quite ridiculous, I thought that we could dip our toes into the choppy waters of the essay writing of Theodore Dalrymple, and this is one of his recent collections, Anything Goes, The Death of Honesty. Now, he's not somebody who is immediately directed by any religious worldview, but nonetheless has contributed for years to the Times, Times Literary Supplement, Spectator and so forth, in a kind of not quite blimpish, curmudgeonly way, decrying the times. So an enemy of political correctness, an opponent of many of the wilder views associated with, say, some of the transgender rhetoric or some of the feminist rhetoric. And he does this not from an elite perspective, but as somebody who has really worked at the front line of the, not the culture wars, but the inequality wars of our culture. Even though he's right of centre, as a doctor, he basically spends his life as a GP in this country and abroad, he's dealt with some of the rougher edges of the human experience. He's been an expert witness in murder trials, he deals with drug deaths, he deals with battered wives and so forth, and has this series of collections of essays in which he polemicizes about the way in which the country is going. And in many cases, our own concerns as Muslim believers are quite startlingly mirrored in this collection. And it's interesting to reflect as we move through this, the extent to which Muslim concerns are often reflected to the right rather than the left of the political spectrum. Somebody like Jonathan Bowden, for instance, who died recently, who was with the British National Party, which certainly one not normally touched with a barge pole, had some interesting things to say about Islam as a counterweight to the negative spirit of consumer modernity. So that's Theodore Dalrymple, Anything Goes. Rather more academic, but actually quite accessible, is a book by a young scholar called Raymond Farrin, Structure and Quranic Interpretation. Quranic studies going through a kind of golden age at the moment. And here, some of it looks rather terrifying with lots of numbers and structures and graphs of how the surahs interlock. But his basic point, which I think you can benefit from without knowing the arcana of Quranic studies is a support for the claim that ring composition gives us the key to understanding the structure of the Quranic text. He shows with detailed examples how surahs begin, say, with topic A, move on to topic B, perhaps topic C, and then back to topic B and back to A again. And he also, even more ambitiously, proposes that you can see groups of surahs in the Quran in which this structure is observable. So it's a little bit left field, and it's, as it were, throwing the cat among the Orientalist pigeons. But it's a bold work, and I think for those who are trying to understand the depths and the compositional beauty of the Quran, definitely something worth having on one's shelf. There's also Jeff Einboden and his book on Islam and Romanticism, which is again ostensibly an academic text, but in fact very interesting to us, because when we speak about Islam and Europe, Islam and the West, so often our adversaries think in terms of oppositions. It's them and us, light and dark, the Semitic and the Aryan, the European and the Asian. It's dichotomizing. What he's pointing out through his quite forensic literary trawl through mainly German literature of the 17th and 18th century, the Enlightenment literature and Romanticism, but also looking at the English experience, so Lord Byron, who says he almost became a Muslim, and of course his Childe Harold is full of Islamic references. And then Byron through Shelley with his book The Revolt of Islam, and then Shelley's wife Mary Shelley, author of Frankenstein, and we recall how Frankenstein first learns to speak because of a Muslim girl called Safiya who is reciting certain things, and there's resonances there. Very much Islam as part of that pre-modern European world rather than something that as it were, fell off a boat 50 or 60 years ago, and reminding us of this interlocking narrative. And the last of the five is Henrik Ibsen, Emperor and Galilean, which is an important monument because Ibsen, probably Europe's best ever playwright, The Doll's House, Rosmer's Home, and so many other monuments of 19th century secularizing sensibility. Ibsen himself considered this to be his best play, and yet it's really difficult to stage. The first time it was ever staged in the UK was in 2011 at the National Theatre. And unfortunately, what they did was to shorten it and to modernize it. So here we have The One You Shouldn't Buy, in a new version by Ben Power, who is a Cambridge-trained kind of theatre person, who I think didn't really believe that a National Theatre audience would understand the references of the 19th century agonising over faith. What shall we do with the body and its cravings? Christianity no longer speaks to us. We can't be pagans any longer. The Wagnerian thing is obviously an absurdity and out of the question. Where do we go? This is where Ibsen, our greatest playwright, explores this. And at the end, as the emperor emperor comes to grief, having invaded Iraq, sounds familiar, didn't work too well. That was the end of the Roman attempt to expand imperially to the east. As he dies, he predicts in a veiled but unmistakable way the arrival later on of what he calls the Third Empire, which is the one that will unite body and flesh, which is obviously a reference to the imminence of Islam. That comes out of this book because, of course, that's too strong meat for modern liberal audiences at the National Theatre. But get older ones and you can see how Ibsen himself, like many of those 18th century romantics that Einboden is speaking about, clearly sees a resolution to be found in the Third Empire and the harmonising body-spirit dialectic of the final revelation. So those are my choices. Not endorsing anything that's in them particularly, but I think it helps to remind us of the liveliness of the current public conversation, and inshallah we'll benefit from at least dipping into the pages of these amazing writings.
Cambridge Muslim College, training the next generation of Muslim thinkers.